Let's be honest. Buying cannabis shouldn't be complicated, sketchy, or low quality. That's why I want to tell you about Mood.com. That's Mood.com. Mood ships federally legal cannabis straight to your door. No medical card, no hassle. And here's the kicker. The quality is better than anything you'll find at your local dispensary. Yeah, I said it. Whether you're into edibles, concentrates, flower, or just looking to explore, you'll find it all at Mood. And it's not just the variety that makes them stand out. Every product is sourced from small, American-owned family farms that care deeply about what they grow. It's cannabis you can trust, delivered discreetly, and ready to elevate your mood. And because you're a listener, you get 20% off your first order. Just head to Mood.com. That's Mood.com to get started.
My family and I were on an outing. We stopped at a stoplight on a highway, and all of a sudden I see in my rearview mirror that there is a truck coming straight for us, rammed right into the back of us. It ended up being a four-car pileup. Luckily, we had a luggage rack on the back that took most of the blow, but we still sustained some injuries that needed significant medical care. I felt confident, feeling I can handle all the calls. I know the story. I know how to talk to the insurance agents and file the reports, and I know how to negotiate. I totally thought that I had this. It added up to be too much, and I just wish that I had called the advocates way sooner. I finally called the advocates, and they took it from there. They know the drill. They know how to do this. They ended up getting a settlement for me that was twice the amount that I thought that I could get on my own.
I'm Matt with the Advocates Injury Lawyers. When your family's hurting, you shouldn't have to fight the insurance companies. Let the advocates carry that burden for you. Give us a call.
Have we started the podcast?
We're recording. I don't know that we're necessarily officially started, but yeah, all this is being recorded.
Oh, welcome to Pretty Much Random. I'm Sammy.
Wait, are we doing for real? I'm blowing my nose during that.
We're keeping it in.
Oh, no. Okay. I'm Alex.
I'm Ness.
So, I was supposed to come in here with a plan, but,
plans are for losers.
I said, this is pretty much random. You could not have a plan, and it is A-okay. We will make it work.
Well, for anybody wondering, I'm in a play, and I forgot about the rest of the world.
I mean, if you want, I was totally serious about info dumping about Titanic, and you guys fact-checking me. Or reacting.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, if you want, okay, but you don't have to.
No, let's do it. I love it. Don't take this the wrong way. It's hard to keep track of all the things that you know. You know a lot about the Titanic?
Yes. I have a personal vendetta against the White Star Line, and so I know all the reasons they're evil, and I like to tell people that because everyone needs to know.
I'm Googling White Star Line. I don't know what that is.
They're the company that owned the Titanic and its sister ships.
Are they still around?
No.
No. Oh, they're defunct. Yeah. Oh, as of 1934, Wikipedia says.
Oh, there you go. I couldn't have told you the year, but I could have told you it was prior to World War II, but I didn't know a specific year.
Why do you hate them so much?
Are you ready?
That was evil.
I am so jazzed to be able to talk about this. And again, this is all off the top of my head, so feel free to, like, Google as I'm saying stuff and make sure that this is all 100% accurate, but I know
I
the majority, like 99% accurate. The long and short of it is that crew members signed contracts, obviously, to work on the ship. So when I say firemen, what I mean here is that was the job title of the people that shoveled the coal into the furnaces to keep the fires going, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They were known as firemen.
So they were the firemen.
Correct. So not firefighters, they were firemen. But when the ship started sinking, they realized, because they knew there was going to be panic, and they realized if the electricity goes out, there's going to be even more panic, and it's going to make it harder to save people's lives because it's the middle of the night. Because it was like 11:30. No, I think it was like 11:17 when the ship hit the iceberg. And then by the time people really started to evacuate, it was well after midnight. So there were a whole contingent of firemen who agreed to stay below decks and shovel coal and keep the lights on for as long as they could, knowing that they were going to die.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. And
there were a few of them that did survive. They were at one point released from duty and allowed to go, but some of them stayed, and some of those that stayed did survive. But when they got back home, the White Star Line tried to tell them that they did not fulfill their contract, ergo they were not going to get paid at all for...
Oh my god, what?
Yep, yep. So then they tried to fight it, and then the White Star Line was like, okay, well, we'll pay you for what you actually worked, so we'll pay you up until the early morning of April 15th, and that's it.
That is wild.
Yep. I believe in the end they eventually did end up getting paid, but it was like months and months of fighting to make it happen.
That's crazy. So, like, did it have to go through courts?
Courts, but I think the courts initially, and this may, fact check this, please. I think the courts initially sided with the White Star Line, but then there was bad press, and the employees took it to the papers and got media attention, and that was in how they ended up getting paid for the full time.
God, the more things change, the more they stay the same, because that's how you get a lot of things done now. You know, you just threaten to hurt their reputation with the truth.
Yeah, exactly.
That's crazy. I both can and can't believe that they did that.
You ready to hate them even more?
Oh my God. No, actually.
You know,
I can't think of anything shittier.
You know how the band continued to play to help reduce panic and keep people comforted in their final moments?
Yeah.
Do you know the White Star Line billed the father of one of the musicians who died because the musician had rented his uniform, and because he went down with the ship, the uniform was unrecoverable, so they billed his dad for it.
What the? That's gotta be... The uniform didn't cost that much. They must have been strapped for cash.
No, not
and,
really.
And there's no good that can come of that. Like, even like from a Machiavellian point of view, somebody on their end had to have thought, this isn't going to get us anything anywhere. We have far more to lose than we have to gain with this shit. You know what I mean?
I don't think capitalists care about good. I think they only care about money. That
well, yeah. But public perception can impact the money, but that's a lot less of a direct calculation, I suppose.
I mean, the company survived for another two decades after this, so I think they were doing fine. Jeez. And historically, most people think of them favorably, like, if they even know the name of it at all, but, like...
Really?
I mean... I, even as much as I know about the Titanic and the White Star Line, I couldn't tell you who the president and the executives were who made these decisions.
Right.
Like,
right.
They got away with it historically because we don't know who they are.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
You're not going to, I'm afraid that you're going to be like, you what, you ready to hate them even more?
Do you want to know how much a fireman got paid on the Titanic?
Ooh, yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
£6 a month.
Well, what was that the equivalent of?
I'd say, yeah, what's the inflation calculation?
I don't know. Okay,
there's an inflation calculator.
Yeah, I'm going to Google that.
I mean, the lowest paid people on the ship got paid $510 a month, so it's not much higher than that.
£581.46 in today's money.
Oh, I see.
So according to this pounds to dollars calculator I just found, it's $720.41 per month, which is not a livable wage.
Yeah, I mean...
They are getting room and food on the ship itself while they're working, so...
For me, that goes without saying.
Are they? Hearing about this company, I'm not sure. I would just assume that.
That's so true. Well... How did you know that, Ness?
Google.
I mean, I don't know what else I expected to hear.
She was probably
oh,
like,
man.
Alex is ranting about Titanic again. I'm just going to look stuff up.
Yeah, true. What is your favorite fact or piece of information about the Titanic? And what do you think is the least well-known?
I think the least well-known is... Oh, okay, there's two.
Okay.
I'm going to say both of them. I don't know that I have a favorite because there are a lot of things that I find really interesting. But the two pieces that are the most interesting are, number one, they actually had more lifeboats than was legally required.
And they still didn't have enough?
Well, there's a fallacy that they, quote unquote, didn't have enough. But the reason is because at the time, the North Atlantic, well, any shipping routes were quite busy. So there would always be ships nearby, supposedly. And so lifeboats were not meant to hold people for an extended amount of time. They were ferries to take people from the sinking ship to the rescue ship. So you would load it up, take them to the rescue ship, unload them, bring it back, load up more passengers, and do several trips. So there were plenty of lifeboats, if that were the case. The problem was, all of the other ships in the area were smart and heeded the warnings. So they got this ice warning, and they
weren't
were like,
there.
We're going to stop and wait because it's too dangerous. Whereas poor E.J. Smith, who... This guy, okay, I have mixed feelings about Captain Smith because he was under a lot of pressure, and I get that, but also he made stupid decisions. But also he wasn't supposed to be on that voyage. He had already retired, and then they brought him back so that he could retire, like have his last journey be the Titanic, which was this grand, amazing, you know, marvel.
I think I do remember actually hearing that.
Yeah, so he made the call to continue through, and then when he went to bed and Lighthauler took over, he was following orders to continue through as well. So it's only by the bad luck of the fact that they continued on through the ice field when the other ships had stopped that it took anyone, it would have taken the closest ship 2 hours to reach them, but that ship did not come for them. The Carpathia came and it was 4 hours away. So the people that were in the lifeboats had to sit in those lifeboats in the freezing freaking cold for over 4 hours. Some people actually died in the lifeboats because they died of hypothermia.
Probably the elderly and the children were the hardest hit by that, I would suppose.
Yeah. Yeah.
Apparently, some of the firemen that did survive were only in the lifeboats in, like, t-shirts and shorts, in the boiler room, it's 120 degrees.
Yep.
Right. And it's not like they had time to run for a change of clothes.
Yeah.
And obviously, like, if you're in the lifeboat, it's not like you're going to be soaked. But in general, if your clothes are wet and you're in the cold, the best thing to do is to take those clothes off.
Well, and you also have to consider, so the reason you're not supposed to put blankets and pet beds out for feral cats is because those things absorb moisture from the air. And they're in the middle of the ocean, so obviously there's, you know, moisture in the air. So even if you had a blanket, unless it was a wool blanket, it was not retaining heat. And it was a very, very cold night.
So is that your favorite fact or your least known fact, or are they both one and the same?
So I would say the lifeboat thing is my favorite fact, simply because most people think, And I'm not defending the White Star Line. You know I hate them. But most people are like...
Everybody knows you hate them. We've known that for years.
I don't shut up about it. people are always like, oh, well, if the company had just had more boats... Well, no, they actually had more than they legally had to. So in their defense... So I think the least known fact about the Titanic is... First Officer Lighthauler was the one in charge when they actually hit the iceberg, because Captain Smith had gone to bed by then. And he was the one that had to make the decision. And what he tried to do, instead of hitting the iceberg dead on because it was right in front of them, he decided to do what's called port round, which is where you steer to the port side and then swinging it really quickly so that the back of the ship basically drifts. And he thought he was going to swing them out of the path completely.
Wow.
The problem is, with trying to port round, there's two problems. One is that the propeller that was in front of the rudder was actually way too small. Titanic could not turn very well. It took forever for her to turn. So she was never going to be able to port round. So that was a very stupid decision he made. But he's making it in the heat of the moment. I don't necessarily blame him.
He's just thinking of what is a maneuver that could get this done, really irrespective of a particular ship's capabilities.
Correct. It's like when you're on the road and someone tries to swerve into your lane, so you swerve to the other lane, but there's
right.
Could be somebody in that other, like, you just natural instinct.
So I
don't blame them for trying to port round. But the other issue with that, so Titanic had the watertight bulkheads that went up to E deck, and it could survive if 5 of those filled with water. It would still stay afloat. That wouldn't drag it down.
Editor's note, fact-checking myself, it was 4. It could survive with 4 of the bulkheads filled with water. I was thinking 5 because 5 was the first number of catastrophe, not the last number of safety. So my apologies for this error.
The problem was, by trying to port round, instead of hitting the iceberg straight on and only one bulkhead being compromised, it ended up kind of like dashing along the starboard side of the ship and completely gashed open multiple gashes in the hull, and 6 compartments were affected.
Oh, man. It really is just like a lot of really bad luck stuff.
You want to hear another really bad luck fact?
Well, and just people put in conditions in which they are just naturally not going to perform at their peak capacity.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, this is crazy.
So the original lookout for the ship actually got fired and took the keys to his locker with him just by chance. It wasn't a vindictive move. He just had them in his pocket and forgot to return them before the ship left. But guess where the binoculars were?
Oh, no.
In
if somebody wrote this as a piece of fiction, there would be critics saying, the number of contrived circumstances breaks my sense of verisimilitude.
Yeah.
But it really did happen.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of awful coincidences that just so happened to lead up to this horrible disaster where 1,500 people died.
What was his decision to keep going?
Okay, so
it ultimately does come to that.
Yes. So Titanic was the largest and most luxurious ship that had ever existed to that point. Think of like luxury cruise ships that we have today. They always want the best amenities. So they're going to have all you can eat buffets, you know, all the best shows, etc. So the White Star Line really wanted to highlight how great the Titanic was. And a passage across the North Atlantic took quite a while. It wasn't, you know, you didn't hop on the Concorde and get there in 4 hours, you know?
Yeah.
So the reason that he pushed through and continued and ignored the ice warnings is because they wanted to surprise the press and arrive early. And then that would make even bigger headlines because, oh my gosh, it's not just the grandest and most luxurious, but it's also the fastest.
Wow.
Well, they made headlines.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
I mean, yeah. Mission failed successfully.
Yes.
What spurned your interest in the Titanic? Is it something that just developed over time, or was there like a moment where you just had to know more, you know?
So my grandma, my maternal grandmother, was very, very obsessed with like the Gilded Age and the Rockefellers and, you know, J.P. Morgan and the Strausses and all this. And of course,
we have good news for her. We're going to be entering another Gilded Age.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Like when I was little, like she took us down to go see the Biltmore Estate and like tried to instill this love of the Gilded Age in us, which did not translate at all for me.
that is comical.
Yes. But I don't know if you know the whole story, but Isidore and Ida Strauss were on the Titanic and they were older and they made the decision to forego getting on a lifeboat so that other people could go. And they died cuddling in bed on the ship. So that was a big thing with her. And then J.P. Morgan was supposed to be on the Titanic, but at the last minute decided not to get on the ship. And there's all kinds of conspiracy theories around that, but I don't buy into those conspiracies. But so,
yeah.
The Titanic was kind of a fascination of my grandma's. And then, dun-dun-dun-dun, when you're a 13-year-old kid and that movie comes out, you end up
Man, that's right. You know what's funny? either we have talked about this before or we talked about it on this podcast. Do you remember when I was telling you about how I acquired the VHS of the Titanic?
No, tell me about it.
No.
No? Okay. I really thought I mentioned it. So I was just hanging out at my parents' house where they currently live, and a car was driving by and something fell out of the car. And I went to go check, and it was the VHS for the Titanic, which was actually two VHSs.
Yeah.
I found one. I was like, oh, man, I wonder if the other one's somewhere down the street. And it was. Like, I had to reel in the tape because it was – I actually wasn't sure if it was actually going to play because of how damaged it looked. But it actually played just fine. So in my mind – the funniest iteration of that is somebody who threw it out intentionally, just really like saw it, thought it was trash, and they were just going to chuck it out the window in a random ass suburb. Like, yeah, I hate this. We need to hear more Titanic facts.
Okay, so here's a fun fact. When the movie first came out, Neil deGrasse Tyson was watching it and I guess wrote to James Cameron and was like, bro, the stars are not correct for that time of year in the North Atlantic. And so in subsequent re-releases, James Cameron worked with Neil deGrasse Tyson to get these stars correct so that the skies were absolutely accurate.
That's really cool. That feels very much like something James Cameron would do.
He actually made the movie just so that he could go visit the Titanic. Like, he couldn't get the financing to just go visit the wreck site. So he made the movie as a way to have the financing. And that's why we have the framing device of the treasure hunters trying to get the diamond and everything, is so that James Cameron could look at the wreck.
Yeah, I did know that, at least.
Yeah.
That he's also very interested in the Titanic and wanted to go down there. I mean, I'm sure he's done a documentary, hasn't he?
Yeah. Okay. We'll talk about the way I watch the Titanic movie with DiCaprio and Winslet, but I try not to support anything else of his because he's a monster of a human being.
Really?
Oh God, yes.
Oh, that's a shame.
The reason that I don't know if you know this about the movie, but a bunch of the crew members went to the hospital because they got sick from PCP poisoning because the lobster chowder that was meant for James Cameron got spiked with PCP by a vindictive crew member because James Cameron was such an asshole that they were trying to get revenge and ended up getting mixed in with like general catering. So it wasn't just James Cameron that ate it. Other people ate it and then they got really, really sick.
Wow.
Filming had to be stopped for multiple days.
PCP.
Mm-hmm. So you want to know the best way to watch the movie Titanic? To make it bearable?
I hadn't even thought of it.
Okay, so for people who don't like romance films, obviously they're like, oh, it's a sappy love story. Mm. And then for people who like the Titanic, there are a lot of factual errors. James Cameron did his best to keep it as close to reality as possible, but obviously it's not entirely possible because we can't know, you know, the final minutes of the sinking. We can't exactly know what the crew were saying or, you know, certain things. So a lot of people complain about the movie, but the best way to watch it, I love watching it through this lens. And I got this from cracked.com.
Makes sense to me.
Jack is a transgender man.
What?
And Rose knows. And that is one of the things that draws Rose to him. And so her family doesn't just despise him for being poor, they despise him for being trans. And Molly Brown, which by the way, okay, this is something in the Titanic movie that I need to very much correct because it drives me insane.
I forgot about Molly Brown in that movie.
Oh, God bless Kathy Bates. I love Kathy
Bates.
Yeah,
I forgot that was Kathy Bates. Because in my mind when you said that, I pictured her and I was like, oh shit, that was Kathy Bates, wasn't it?
Yeah. But anyway, and the way to watch it with Jack as a trans man is that Kathy Bates knows full well and is very supportive. the fact I need to correct, in the movie, Gloria Stewart has a line where she says, of course all of her friends called her Molly. And that's not true. Historically, we call her Molly Brown. Her name was Margaret Brown. But her friends actually called her Maggie. So that line is incorrect in the movie.
Interesting. I was probably 35-ish when I learned that Peggy is a nickname for Margaret.
Yeah, isn't that weird? Do you know that it's Megan started out as a nickname for Margaret as well before it became its own name?
Interesting. That makes sense. Isn't that weird? That makes sense. Yeah, that's cool, though.
Names evolve. Like, Dick and Richard. Like, where did that
ever... I was just about to say, like, was there just one Richard that everybody hated? So, I've discovered something.
Okay.
To swing back around to Titanic.
Yeah. You mean
there's an animated Titanic movie with talking animals.
Why don't...
An animated Titanic movie with talking animals where nobody dies.
Don't.
Because they all jump onto whales and an octopus holds up the ship.
Somebody was really high.
And apparently it was a joint venture between North Korea, Spain, and the U.S.
What?
There is a movie called Titanic 2.
Titanic 2?
But that's just like...
Did they know what happened to the Titanic?
Asylum. You know Asylum? Like... Pacific Rim's coming out, so they make Atlantic Rim. It's that kind of movie.
So then why didn't they just do, like, Britannic or Olympic, which were the sister ships?
I mean, the fact that they did it in the first place betrays the answer to that, I think.
That's true.
All right. More Titanic facts.
Oh, okay. Did you know that... Okay, so you know when you're looking at the Titanic, there are four smokestacks?
Sure.
The fourth one was a false one.
Why?
Or they kept the candy.
So the three smokestacks that were closest to the front of the ship vented from where the coal was being stoked. But then the fourth one was decorative to kind of balance it out so there were an even number of smokestacks. But it actually did sort of work because they used it as the kitchen vents.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
What were the dimensions of the Titanic?
Oh, that I don't know off the top of my head. I'm going to have to Google it.
Because I don't really have
a dimension. It is 882 feet and 9 inches long with a maximum breadth of 92 feet and 6 inches. It was 104 feet tall.
Okay, so the Titanic sank in 1912.
Okay.
Can any of you guys guess when the last survivor of the sinking passed away?
Oh, interesting. Right off
the rip. It was probably a baby.
Right off the rip, it was a child. Let me think this through. So 1912,
let's say 2002.
That's not a bad guess.
I'm going to assume there was like a three-year-old who lived
to... Oh, I assume like infant.
Well, yeah, sure. Lived to like 90. Honestly... Ness's guess is right around where I would have put it, like 2000-ish.
Okay,
maybe.
So she was 9 weeks old when she was on the Titanic, so she doesn't remember it at all. She died in 2009.
Wow.
So she was on the Titanic, and she lived to see YouTube be a thing.
Oh my god. What a tragic fucking life.
I know where the Titanic ended up. Where did the surviving pass? Did they, like, make it to their destination? Or did they, like, turn around and go back where they came from?
The ship wrecked kind of off the coast of Nova Scotia, but not super duper close. And they were headed for New York. So the Carpathia actually did take them. The Carpathia was the rescue ship, by the way. The Carpathia did take them into New York. So yeah, they did make it to their destination.
Okay.
Do you guys want to hear some uplifting news?
Yay!
Sure.
Okay. So,
we don't get enough of that around here.
Yeah, that's true. So speaking of the Carpathia, I absolutely love them and their captain. So they were not the closest ship to the Titanic when the distress signal was sent out. And you also have to realize that coming to rescue a sinking ship in an ice field is putting your own ship and your own passengers at risk.
Yeah.
Technically are not under any obligation to save people. It's just the decent thing to do. So,
yeah.
Rostron decides, we're going to go save this ship, right? So he full steam aheads Carpathia through an ice field in the middle of the night. Also, it needs to be noted that the water was really still, which makes it impossible to see icebergs with the naked eye. When you have water that is moving, you can see the water break at the base of the iceberg, and then it kind of outlines the bottom of the base. But when it's still, you can't see the ice until you're on it. So it's very risky.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, so that makes sense.
The Carpathia, like I said, they were 4 hours away. So as they're on their way to go rescue the Titanic, or they thought they were going to rescue the Titanic. Little did they know the ship wouldn't exist when they got there. But on their way to rescue it, Rostron ordered any and all public spaces be turned into triage centers. He then had the crew go around and wake up his passengers, which he didn't have to do, in order to ask them, do you have anything you can donate? Do you have warm clothes you don't need? Do you have extra blankets you can give us? The passengers on the Carpathia not only gave their own items, I'm about to cry, I'm so sorry, to the survivors.
Yeah, hey, I get it.
Anyone with medical training got up in the middle of the night to go triage and to help treat the survivors as they arrived. And then, when they arrived in New York, Rostron ordered that the Carpathia passengers get off first and basically move the press back to shield the survivors of the Titanic so that the media didn't take pictures of them when they were that traumatized.
Dude, why didn't I know about the Carpathia up until now? Like, that should be as well known.
He's a literal saint.
That's cool.
He's kind of a hottie, too.
Was he?
Oh, really? Here, let me... Yeah. What's his name?
Arthur, R-O-S-T-R-O-N. I have trouble saying that.
Rostron?
Yeah.
Oh, he was? Look at you. All right.
Oh, wow. Yeah, he was a cutie pie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'll ask Sammy, because I'm sure Alex knows the answer, but do you know what RMS stands for in the context of these boats?
No, I don't.
Royal Mail Ship. It had a bunch of mail on the way to New York.
Okay, okay. Now, my favorite fact about the Titanic is the rescue of the Titanic.
Oh, it's great.
Carpathia.
Yeah, I really love the Carpathia and how much they helped, because honestly, it could have been a double disaster. They could have gone down as well. It was a very dangerous thing to have done.
Yeah, and you know, like, I'm sure that there were passengers on the ship who probably were not very happy with the fact that they were being put in the danger that they were being put in. And there's nobody who's wrong in that situation. There really isn't.
Yeah. Well, and it's so hard to know what you yourself would feel in a situation like that, because it's not a hypothetical that we can imagine. It's such a traumatic thing that our brain won't let us really occupy the space enough to imagine it fully. So yeah, you never know what you're going to do in a disaster.
What was the fallout of the Titanic sinking?
So a regulatory body basically was put into place. And it's the International Convention for the Safety of Life at Sea. And it's kind of like OSHA, but for ships. So they required, after the Titanic... Remember I talked about legally the Titanic had more lifeboats than they had to have? So after the Titanic, they were then required to have enough lifeboats to hold every passenger and not just ferry them, but to actually hold them. That's also where lifeboat drills comes from.
Okay.
When you get on a cruise ship now, within the first few hours, the first thing you do is meet up at your evacuation spot, and they show you where to get the life jackets, and they explain the procedure of, if we were to sink, here is what we would do. Also, they had cork life vests back then, and a lot of them were expired, so they weren't as effective, because the cork deteriorates.
Weren't the lifeboats like... barely above half full most of the time, too?
Oh, a lot of them were. So they could hold up to 60 passengers, and some of them held 15.
Wow.
I had no idea they were that big.
Oh, yeah. So because they thought the ship was unsinkable, even after she got hit, they still thought she wasn't, there was no way she was going to go down. They were so sure of it. So a lot of passengers did not go up to deck to get in line for the lifeboats. A lot of them were like, fuck off, I'm sleeping, leave me alone, and didn't get up till it was too late. And then as they were loading the lifeboats, a lot of them didn't load them full because they didn't think they'd need to. They genuinely thought they were going to send these boats out and then a couple hours later call them back in.
I think I can sum up the sinking of the Titanic in one word.
Okay.
Hubris.
Yes.
I didn't realize how long we didn't know where it was.
I was just going to bring that up. We didn't find it until the 80s. People did not believe survivors' reports of the ship splitting in half. They thought that people were making it up because they were so traumatized by what was happening, and they didn't realize that that was even possible. So for 70 years, people didn't believe the survivors that the ship broke in two. They were like, there's no way it could have done that.
That is some bullshit. That is salt in the wounds. Mm-hmm. Of
I think
all.
Charging the dead guy's dad for the suit is still a little bit more ridiculous. But
all right, yeah. I forgot about that. I hated it so much that it left my brain.
You want to know the most disturbing fact? This will really fuck with you, so if you don't want to know it, say no.
Oh, give it to me, baby. Triggering content warning, folks.
Oh, absolutely triggering. So they asked survivors what the scariest part of it was, and they would say things like, oh, was it, you know, all the panic, or was it the screaming that you heard? And one of the survivors, this has stuck with me since I was a little kid, one of the survivors said, no, it was the silence. Once it became silent and you knew everybody in that water was fully dead, and you just had to sit on the boat and wait for rescue, and it was hours of eerie silence. And I think the survivor, I think she was 12 that gave this interview, but she said that's when she got scared, is because that was the first time it hit her how many people had died, because it was so loud before that, and then it slowly tapered off, and then when it got totally quiet, she realized, oh my God, they're all dead.
How many people were on the Titanic, and how many people survived?
So there were just over 2,200 people on Titanic. And approximately 1,500 died. There was 700 and something survivors.
I assume that the main storyline in the James Cameron movie was really just a work of fiction.
Yes, it's what we call historical fiction, which is a very common genre. And it's when you want to humanize a part of history, so you create a story around it. So Jack and Rose were not real people, but a lot of the people in it are real people. Also, passengers would not have been able to access the bow of the ship and do the king of the world thing.
Oh, man.
That drives me crazy. So that was actually a lot of storage in that area of the ship. There would have been too much equipment for people to have gotten up there.
This is a sticking point for you, I see.
It bothers me for multiple reasons.
I wonder how many people got injured trying to recreate that scene.
Do you want to do a quick Price is Right game?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Okay, so the Heart of the Ocean is not a real thing. It's based on the Hope Diamond, which is worth somewhere between $200 and $350 million. How much do you think an on-screen used prop of the Heart of the Ocean has sold for?
Oh.
The specific one was used in the shipwreck scene, so it was around Miss Winslet's neck.
I'm going to say $10 million.
See, I was thinking $125 million. I was way above yours.
Somewhere between $7,000 and $10,000.
Oh, okay. Okay, good.
I feel so much better about that. I feel so much better about
that. You can buy a prop replica of it right now for $1,000.
No thanks.
Oh, fuck off.
So speaking of the Heart of the Ocean, you want to hear the most ridiculous fact about the Titanic movie / pop culture?
Ooh, yes.
Gloria Stewart played Old Rose. And, you know, at the end of the movie, she takes the Heart of the Ocean necklace and climbs up onto the railing of the ship and throws it into the ocean, right?
Which I always thought was stupid as fuck. Like, she has grandkids!
Did you know that Gloria Stewart was also in a Hanson music video where she climbed up on the edge of the railing and threw a Hanson CD into the ocean?
Wow!
Where it belongs.
That music video also starred Weird Al.
Of course it did. He is in everything.
He really is.
He's in the 1986 Transformers movie.
What?
What?
Yeah, he sings a song called Dare to Be Stupid.
Oh, I know Dare to Be Stupid.
Oh, wait, Dare to Be Stupid!
Yeah.
That was in Transformers?
Yeah.
Was that written for Transformers?
Yeah.
What? Man. Well, my name is Sammy.
My name is Ness.
And I'm Alex.
That was a great topic. I got to learn a lot.
Okay. Just when I realized that it was Tech Week and I was like, man, he's got too much to focus on. I can pull this out of my ass without having to do any research. So I just was like, we'll default to this. But I think it was kind of fun though to like, because I am such a trivia person that my episodes have all been trivia. So I love that this wasn't trivia and that you guys fact checked me and we could like look things up. Like that was nice to have that change in format for me. So
yeah.
And also, next record, if you want it to be yours, it's totally yours.
I don't know.
I could do a Transformers lore dump.
Yes!
yeah, that's funny.